There's quite a few questions that were submitted, and I'll take some of the time to respond to some of those, and then we'll take questions from the room. I'll start with a couple of questions, not so much about practice itself, but more the ideas connected with practice. So one question about the what and the how of experience and how this might relate to the four foundations of mindfulness. Could we say that awareness of experience is using the first frame of reference and the awareness of the relationship is the second frame of reference? The first frame of reference, the first foundation of mindfulness, the body, the second foundation of mindfulness, feeling tone, the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of experience. The third foundation of mindfulness, the awareness of mind, mind states. The fourth foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of experience in relationship to the Dharma, we could say. And what I would say about the what of experience is that all four foundations can be the what of experience. Body, sensation, mind, the fourth foundation talks about the hindrances, for instance, as one of the aspects of what we can know with mindfulness. It talks about the five aggregates and the six sense bases, the seven awakening factors. All of those can be the what of experience. Also, feeling tone, the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral aspect of experience, that can just be what is happening. Mind states, mental activity, greed, aversion, delusion arising can be known and seen. That can be the what of experience. I would say that the noticing of attitude is in that third foundation, the awareness of mind states. But sometimes the awareness of mind states would be the what of experience, and some of the times it would be the attitude. I think I mentioned that the attitude, the practice of looking at attitude is to kind of recognize something or know how we are relating to experience. But as soon as we see how we're relating to experience, that very experience can then just become another part of what is happening. So the attitude can shift actually from being an attitude, being a way that we're looking at experience, to being something that is being known or being seen. I sometimes use the analogy of like sunglasses. If I had a pair of sunglasses on, looking through those sunglasses, if I forgot to take my sunglasses off when I came inside, it might be that I'd kind of get used to it and be looking, maybe think, gee, it's a little dark in here, but not particularly necessarily notice that I'm wearing the sunglasses. It's just seeing things through that kind of shade, no, noticing that shade and that it's in not knowing why things are shaded, but knowing that, yeah, things look a little gray in here today or whatever. And then realizing, oh, I've got the sunglasses on. And then if I take the sunglasses off, I could look at the sunglasses rather than through them. So when we are looking through an attitude, it's influencing how we're receiving experience. But then when we notice that the attitude is there, it may be that we're no longer looking through that attitude, but we're just aware of it as another part of the field of experience. And a question about the use of questions in the practice. The questions I've offered, are you aware? Or you might say, am I aware? What am I aware of? Somebody kind of asked the question about the use of I in that, in those statements. Like, isn't that slipping into, or might it slip into reifying a sense of self or a fixed view of I or me or mine? I find for myself, we can use the word I or me in a way that is understanding that it's referring to process as opposed to a fixed sense of self. That the language there can be just a kind of a referent for this ever-changing process of body and mind. And also, if you find that language of I to kind of catch you up, then just take the language of I out. Is awareness happening? What is obvious? So those can be bringing in those questions without using that referent of I or me or mine. And so if that supports you, that can be helpful. The questioner went on to say, maybe we could ask the question rather than asking, am I aware? Ask the question, who is the watcher? As a way to kind of get around that. And that framing of the question, actually, the Buddha said that that framing of the question also included wrong view. At one point, somebody asked, who feels? Who knows? And the Buddha said, that's a wrong framing of the question. If you asked what feels, how does feeling happen, that would be a right framing of the question. So even that question of who is the watcher might be kind of reifying that there could be a watcher. The questioner says if you look for a watcher, then you might not find it, and so that might undermine the sense of self. That is a practice that some teachers do explore, asking that question, who am I? Who am I? Who is this being? And finding that it's quite difficult if you look for what is this sense of self? And that's a great exploration, actually. If it feels like there's a sense of self, it feels like there's an I or me here, it can be a very interesting exploration to say, well, what is that? What does the mind think is me? What is that exploration? If you find, I am a great believer in what works in terms of supporting you to be aware, be present with experience, and be curious. And so if the question, who is the watcher, creates that curiosity, and you're not particularly looking for anything in particular, but just allowing the question to spark that curiosity, sounds useful. But if you're caught up in the meaning of the question and looking for the absence of a sense of self or something like that, it might not be so useful. Another question. That kind of fits into this what works category. Somebody asked, what's your take on a more progressive, a more active form of muscle relaxation at the beginning of a sitting where you actually tense muscles and then relax them, tense them and then relax them? And again, I'd say if that supports you, great. That I think we can be creative with our practice. What supports you to find a relaxed, attentive, curious container in which to observe. And then questions about working with difficulty and working with thoughts. Actually, I'll look at the thought question first. Because this is a basic question that I think a lot of people may connect to, may resonate with. I don't feel like I know how to be aware of thinking. Either I'm aware in the present moment and there's no thinking, or a thought arising carries me away from being mindful. The moment I become aware again, I notice the thought that carried me away, but I don't think I really know the feeling of being aware of the thought arising in the moment. One of my teachers, a spiritual teacher, influenced me, who suggests that being present and thinking are incompatible, more or less incompatible. It says, this might be wrong, question mark. We can be aware while thinking is happening. Yes, we can be aware while thinking is happening. So that idea, I think this is something I spend a lot of time poking holes in. The idea that there are things that happen in the mind that we can't, that are inherently non-mindful. Whatever happens in the mind, except potentially non-mindfulness, but even that, there can be a sense in the moment when mindfulness returns, a kind of an understanding of what it was like when the mind was not aware the moment before. Experience, all experience, we can be aware of. Thinking, sleepiness, spaciness, there's so many states of mind or things that we might think it's not possible to be mindful of, because we have the habit of not being mindful when those states happen. We have a strong habit of not being mindful when thinking happens. We have a strong habit of losing mindfulness when we're sleepy. We have a strong habit of losing mindfulness when this experience of what we call spacing out happens. But we can be aware with all of those experiences. And just that understanding, hearing that it's possible, and I can tell you from my own experience that it is possible. It is possible. Just hearing that might help to kind of break into the idea or the view that there are certain things that happen that we can't be mindful of. So how can I learn to be mindful of thinking the moment that thinking is happening? I'd say the first place that it can happen is the moment that we return from wandering. I'm hearing some sound coming through. If you could, everybody could mute yourselves, check if you're muted. I don't see immediately. The first place that we can begin to get familiar with the experience of thinking in the moment is usually the moment when mindfulness returns, because mindfulness does often return in the midst of a thought. And so we're not there seeing the thinking arising. It's already going on, and mindfulness kind of, so the thinking's going on and mindfulness arises with the thinking. But that, in that moment, you're getting the taste or the flavor of, oh, awareness is happening and thinking is happening. So you're getting the taste or the recognition that there is a way to be mindful while thinking is happening. The exploration of seeing the thought arise, that can be a little bit later. It can take a little bit more continuity of mindfulness. But there's also a kind of the recognition of being aware of the awareness. As we get more familiar with being aware of awareness, and the momentum of that awareness, I think I'm going to use the scooter analogy right now. I've given this one a lot, but it's helpful for this what I'm going to speak about. When a child is riding one of those kick scooters, the push scooters, not a motorized scooter, but a scooter that they put one foot on the little platform and they have their foot down and they're tapping the ground to get the momentum of the scooter going. That image or that analogy of tapping the scooter is a good analogy for how the momentum of mindfulness builds. So at first we, you know, if you're at a standstill on the scooter, you have to put your foot down and tap a lot of times, and then the momentum builds because you're tapping a lot of times. So at first, we have to do that light tap, the little light tap of a little bit of a tap of the scooter. And it's often not helpful to try to put your foot down and do a really strong kick, because that can create a really wobbly scooter ride. So light tap, many times gives you that sense of the scooter. You can balance, you balance and you ride, and you learn how to balance with those light taps. And similarly with the light connection with just this moment of being mindful. It's like that light touch, not trying to hold on to it for a long time. And then as the scooter ride gets going, you get familiar with the experience of the momentum of the scooter, and then you can ride it for a little while. You can put your foot back on the platform and just ride without having to tap all the time. And so you get familiar with the experience of the momentum in the scooter, and then you just ride for a little while. And then when the scooter starts getting a little wobbly, you know that the experience of wobbliness means it's slowing down. And so put the foot down and give it a little more boost for momentum. Kind of similarly with the mindfulness, we get familiar with the experience of the momentum of the mindfulness. And then as we are more familiar with the experience of the what it's like for the mindfulness to have some momentum, we can then also start to get familiar with what it's like for that mindfulness to begin to weaken, kind of get a little wobbly, the mindfulness to begin to fall apart a little bit. And often it starts when a thought arises. And so if you're kind of beginning to attune to that experience of the ride with mindfulness, you might notice that the container of that momentum starts to get a little wobbly as a thought arises, and you might see the thought arising actually. And if you can, instead of getting hooked by the thought, be oh, there's a thought arising, and that kind of connection of mindfulness with the thought arising is like the tap of the scooter. There's the connection with the present moment experience. Oh, there's a thought arising. What is that like to have that thought arising? How is it arising? So I think probably the biggest thing that can be in the way of being mindful of thinking, though, is the idea that it's not possible to be mindful of thinking. So maybe you can just set that belief aside for a little while and hold the possibility that it is possible. Connected to the idea that there's certain things or states of mind that are not possible to be aware of, there's several questions about working with sleepiness. Not necessarily from the perspective of I can't be mindful while sleepy. Oh, one person says, I can easily fall asleep during meditation, after which I feel guilty, or I can fight the sleepiness by keeping my eyes open. How might I practice with sleepiness? And so these two ways, just kind of giving into it, just falling asleep, losing awareness, versus kind of muscle your way through the sleepiness, either fight it, like try to bring up the energy. Sometimes there's a lot of instructions around sleepiness to stand up or take a walk, bring the energy up, open your eyes, things like that. And there's also the possibility, I mean, that I think the idea that it's one or the other is partly because there's not the understanding or the recognition of the possibility of being aware of sleepiness. Sleepiness, as I said a few minutes ago, sleepiness is just another mind state, and it is possible to be aware while we are sleepy. We don't have to either fall asleep or try to not be sleepy. We can notice sleepiness is happening. That's it. There's an image that I like with this particular state of mind, and it's again, it's kind of the sleepiness is a diffuse state, kind of like some of the states we were talking about this morning. It's a vague, kind of fuzzy, misty, foggy state. The experience of sleepiness is kind of, when we don't fight it, actually, one of the great keys about practicing with sleepiness, being aware with it, is that part of the reason sleepiness is so unpleasant when we're practicing with it is because we're trying to fight it. When we're trying to fight sleepiness, it's very unpleasant usually. It feels really unpleasant. But sleepiness itself, part of the way sleepiness kind of helps us to fall asleep is because it's so pleasant. So we can actually be aware of the pleasant experience of sleepiness if we're not trying to fight it. So opening to that kind of fuzzy, spacious, very relaxed body, relaxed mind, that's what happens when we're sleepy. And we can be aware of it. So the kind of diffuse quality of the sleepiness, we can maybe touch into that, the misty kind of state. And I think with sleepiness in particular, we often think, you know, how many of you have had the thought, you know, I can't be aware while I'm sleepy. You know, I can't be mindful while I'm sleepy. Yep, hands, me too. I've definitely been there. And at some point I noticed, you know, I saw the thought. So this was a seeing of my mindfulness of thinking. I saw the thought, I am so low energy right now, there's no way I can be mindful. And then the mind recognized, wow, I just noticed that thought. I guess I can be aware here, you know. If you know that you're thinking the thought, I can't be mindful while something is happening, there's actually enough energy to be mindful that that thing is happening. You're already kind of mindful of it. You had the thought. You're not in that state. You're kind of knowing that it's there. And then there's this idea that mindfulness is somehow incompatible with it. But almost it's already shown you that you can't be aware of it. You already have noticed it. So that's a kind of, you know, if you have that thought, I can't be mindful while anything is happening. I can't be mindful while restlessness is happening. I can't be mindful while thinking is happening. You're kind of already aware of it. So just kind of that curiosity again, puncturing the bubble that there's some kind of state that we can't be mindful of. We can be mindful of any state. If there's anything more about sleeping. Oh, with sleepiness in particular. I found working with sleepiness that it can be really helpful in, like, as we begin to kind of connect with the experience of sleepiness, the fuzziness, the relaxation. You know, relaxation comes with sleepiness. It's really a fantastic experience when we can connect to the experience. There's the habit of falling asleep, and so we may get a little taste of it, and then we'll fall asleep. What I like to encourage, if you're practicing with sleepiness early on, you know, when you're just learning how to practice with sleepiness, is get in a posture where you would kind of drop if you fall asleep. And then, you know, let yourself just be aware of the experience of the kind of the body relaxing, the mind getting relaxed and spacious, and then you may fall asleep. That's okay. If you're in this posture and you drop, you'll wake up. And you know, you get another chance to do it. You'll get another chance to be aware of sleepiness. This kind of begins to cultivate the capacity for mindfulness to connect with sleepiness, so aware with sleepiness. So it strengthens that capacity to be aware with sleepiness when we're not fighting the sleepiness. And it's kind of like, it's okay if I fall asleep. I'm just trying to learn the mind, you know, just trying to learn what it means to be aware with sleepiness. And you may get a little taste of it, feel that kind of floaty quality, and then drop again. Okay, if you're dropping, you're not going to be asleep for very long. You're going to drop and wake up because that kind of wakes you up. And then do it again. And then do it again. It can be a really interesting practice, and it also cultivates the capacity to begin to learn about those diffuse states also. For me, I really began learning about being present with diffuse states through this practice of being with low energy, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, dullness, all those kind of things that we think of as so problematic. just becoming aware of them. It really doesn't matter what's happening. We can bring mindfulness to it and learn a tremendous amount, learn a lot about how our minds work and all kinds of beliefs that we have about our experience.